Now, why will they come down into the land of Israel? Well, God says he's going to bring them down there. Verse 4, God says, I will turn thee back. I'll put hooks into thy jaws, and I'll bring thee forth in all thine army. God says, I'm going to put hooks in your jaws, and I'm going to bring you down into that land whether you like it or not. Now, that has been interpreted that God, when they came down to that land, that he'd lead them out of that land. He'd draw them out, but that's not what he says, because he makes it very clear that he intends to judge them in that land and that they're not going to come out of it. He's not going to use a hook to bring them out of that land. Over in verse 11 of chapter 39, it says, it shall come to pass in that day that I will give unto Gog a place there of graves in Israel. Now, if he's going to bury them in Israel, obviously he's not going to lead them out of Israel. And he makes it very clear that this is going to be a slaughter, the like of which has not been seen, probably, in the history of the world. And this is something, therefore, that causes us to go back. And what does he mean? He puts hooks into their jaws, and I'll bring thee forth. Well, what he means, and what obviously he's saying, is I'm bringing you down into that land, and God says, I'm going to put hooks in your jaws and bring you down into that land. Now, this is a land, therefore, that Israel will be back in at that time. Now, for years, that land was not occupied by them. To tell the truth, after Titus had destroyed that land, why, these people were sold into slavery throughout the world, and they were scattered throughout the world. And the land was not a land of milk and honey. We have seen in the book of Ezekiel that even the Negev down there was covered with forests. God said he was going to burn that out. He did. At least there are no trees down there today. And that's the place where this man Elijah went and left his servant, and he kept going on out into the desert, crawled up and under a juniper tree. Well, if Elijah was there today, he'd have trouble finding a juniper tree to crawl up and under. He'd have to find something else. Mark Twain said concerning that land, and I'm quoting him now, Palestine sits in sackcloth and ashes, desolate and unlovely. It's a hopeless, dreary, heartbroken land. And why should it be otherwise? Can the curse of the deity beautify a land? Palestine is no more of this workday world. It is sacred to poetry and tradition. It's dreamland. Now, it was Dr. Theodor Herzl. He was a playwright in Austria. And he is the man that began this tremendous Zionist movement back to that land. And he made this statement, there's a land without a people. There's a people without a land. Give the land without a people to the people without a land. And so Dr. Wiseman, who was the first president of Israel, he was speaking before the Anglo-American Commission of Inquiry. He says the Jewish nation is a ghost nation. Only the God of Israel has kept the Jewish people alive. And Mr. David Ben-Gurion, the premier for many years of that Jewish state, and listen to him. He said Ezekiel 37 has been fulfilled, and the nation of Israel is hearing the footsteps of the Messiah. Well, they've turned from that now, because I have a picture taken when they had their 21st anniversary, I think it was, and there was a great motto in the auditorium there at Tel Aviv, and it was in English and also in Hebrew, and it says, science will bring peace to this land. Well, I thought that the Bible said in the Old Testament that the Messiah would bring peace to the land. So apparently they're chasing a new Messiah today.